Welcome to Unstuck in Devatory, where we are following the road to Wembley 1981 and one of the most watched wrestling matches of all time when 80 million people watched Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. This week, it's Big Daddy versus John Elijah.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? What she said to me.
The main events at the Wembley Arena, we will be seeing Giant Haystacks versus Big Daddy. What will you be doing to Big Daddy?
Well, Kent, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do to him. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to him.
The time has come, no tag matches, when Haystacks and Daddy clash on the mat in the ring. Anyway, we shall not be moved because we are not finished yet.
So how are you this week, Dan?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. It's time recording. It's Impact Eve for me, heading off on the UK invasion tour tomorrow. First stop Glasgow, going up with Lauren and meeting Simmy up there, Tom Simpson, from our little group, wrestling group chat on Twitter there. So yeah, life's good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just surprised you've shaved off the neck beard to go and hang out with wrestling fans.
I've got to stand out somehow. it was time for the beard to have a trim. It had been about 6 months.
Fair enough. Yeah, get the hedge trimmers on it.
Yeah, it was the biannual D Swamp Monstery.
Yeah, lots of podcasts have sponsorship deals with Manscaped. You might be able to get one with Bosch for your beard.
Black and Decker. Oh God! For yeah, facial hair and impact toes aside, I'm excited to get back to this because it behind, you know, peek behind the curtain. It's been a little while since we've done one of these, and a fella I've never seen wrestle before in John Elijah.
No, I think we did on the first episode of All Stars. I'm sure I've covered one of his matches before. I don't think it was on Bam Bam podcast.
Well, in my defence, I was very very drunk.
Fair enough. But certainly seen him a lot younger than we may have seen him before, because we're heading back to the 7th, well, they taped on the 7th of November 77 and broadcast on the 19th of November 77. So this is probably the earliest that you've seen him. But before we get into any of that, are you drinking, Dan?
I am indeed, and because we've got a bit of a road trip tomorrow, I was going to take it easy and then just go on the Euro piss, because, you know, I can drink that till the cows come home and not really suffer any effect. But went into the little shop near me when I was out and about today, and I noticed they'd expanded the range of Brew York and Kirkstall. So I've picked up a can of Kirkstall Sticky Toffee Stouts at 6% that I'm currently enjoying now, and it's very nice. It could stand to be a touch sweeter for my taste, but overall, it's pretty bloody good. And then next up, I've got Brew York's Ready Kruger, which is a berry and marshmallow pastry sour at 5%, which is right up my alley because I do love a good sour, and it's named after a slasher movie killer. So I'm well on board with that. What about you?
Just on Kirkstall Brewery, I got voted down in my suggestion for where we should have the Christmas meal for the team. I said we should go to, you know, hop on the train to Leeds and go to Kirkstall Brewery. Because it's going to be a couple of teams together, so there's going to be quite a few people, and they want somewhere with decent food, and they want somewhere with decent beer. And Kirkstall Brewery is quite big, and as we've found out before, they do decent food. They've got a good range of beer, so kind of ticks a lot of boxes. But I was shot down in in that suggestion for convenience.
Did you follow that up by suggesting Northern Monk?
No, we're going to a Kirksall Brewery pub rather than the brewery itself.
Oh, well, you're halfway to that then.
Yeah, just more convenient. But so that will be good. Hopefully the food's as good as it is at the brewery. But right now I am drinking Osono, which is a dark lager from Nostalgia Brewery. It's another of these Chilean beers that I've got. A little bit disappointed because I was expecting this just to be a lager, and it turned out to be a dark lager. It's 4%. It's quite nice, actually, but, you know, when I was expecting, you know, sort of some South America piss to come out of the can and turned into this. Not quite what I was expecting. After that, I have Pacifico Sur, which is a Duncan Weiss, and that's Free Assembly Brewery. So it's a Scottish-German beer, and that's 4%. Oh, no, this is a dark wheat ale as well.
You're having a nightmare, aren't you?
Having a nightmare. And then I've got Brew Gooders Cold IPA. I might go to the Cold IPA next, actually, because that'll be a bit lighter. That's 5.5%. It describes itself as fresh and breezy, has a QR code to learn more, so I may well find that. There's another Scottish beer, actually, Brew Gooder as well. So, back on the Scottish stuff that's disguised as something else this evening. But I have recently just taken delivery of a very large order, which surprised my next-door neighbour when they had to collect it because I was out from Tartarus Beers, and very much looking forward to some of their brand new beers that have just come out. And if you want to drink Tartarus Beers, you can log to tartarusbeers.co.uk, put in the promo code UTTPODCAST15 and get 15% off.
I was going to say, it must have been hard for them to back the wagon up around your way, you know, trying to get an 18-wheeler through the narrow streets near yours. That'd be quite difficult just to fulfil that order.
But they'll do it. It's like Martin when he tried to work out how much he'd drunk in terms of petrol tankers.
I have to say as well, going back to the Reddy Kruger that I've got up next, as ever with Brew York, the can art's phenomenal. On one side of the label, it's got the house from Nightmare on Elm Street, and then there's various fruits, you know, so as if they've been slashed by Freddy's claws, and then there's like a silhouette of Freddy himself on the other side, as well as like blood drip effects around the name of the beer and the description.
Oh, wow.
It really is very good.
They did that really good Halloween set before, didn't they?
Yes, I got that one as well. They were brilliant.
Yeah, they were. So, as we say, the card that we're covering today is from Aylesbury. On the same card as this, filmed for TV, there was Johnny Kincaid, who was in the 1971... FA Cup final tagging with Johnny Quango up against Johnny Wilson, who is in a 1987 FA Cup final appearance in a rumble match against Giant Haystacks.
Oh, wow. Great timing.
Yeah. So we'll see him eventually. Up next, there was Kong Fu, who appeared in the 75, 77 and 78 Cup finals. So we'll see him in the next episode when we're covering the 1978 Cup final day show. And he's against Mark Rollerball Rocco, who was in the 79 Cup final, tagging with the mighty John Quinn against Big Daddy and Ringo Rigby.
I have heard rumours that John Quinn eats 3 chickens during the course of that match.
He probably does, yeah. We'll go through his diet on the way to the 79 Cup final. Zoltan Bosix, who I believe trained friend of the show and star of the Work in Progress podcast, Glenn.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, and he was in the 63 Cup final against Bradford's own Cyanide Sid Cooper.
Excellent.
Yeah, and he was facing Steve Kelly, who doesn't have a Cup final appearance, boo.
Any relation to Gary Kelly?
Yeah, must be, I'm assuming, yeah. Then Tony St. Clair, who is in the 78 Cup final, tagging with Big Daddy against Giant Haystacks and Bruiser Murr. And he was in the 77 and 76 Cup final, and he faced Butcher Bond, who no Cup finals there. Mal Sanders, surprising he doesn't have any Cup final appearances. I think we may touch on them in Celtic Club when we get round to doing that, when we've got our ducks in a row. And he was facing Steve Gray, who was in the 77, 78 and 79 Cup Finals. So, again, we will see him next time as he faces Bradford's own crybaby Jim Breaks.
Brilliant. A lot of times there. I'm liking it.
Mm. Yeah, so absolute stacked card for the people of Aylesbury at the time when this went out. But, I mean, when it went out, there would have been a lot of competition on TV. So we'll hop over to the Radio Times and TV Times and see if there was anything else that might have tempted us away from watching this episode of World of Sport.
No, go on then, let's have a gander.
So on the cover of the Radio Times, there's a astronaut with the image of an alien in its visor, because they've got Eric Van Daniken on Horizon talking about his conspiracy theories. So quite mainstream at the time.
I've never heard of Eric Van Daniken.
Was a conspiracy theorist.
I gathered that.
Yeah. up against the wrestling on BBC One was the rugby league. It was the John Players competition, and it was Huddersfield versus Bradford Northern.
Yeah, all right. Would that have tempted you away from the wrestling? Sorry.
No. Don't like the Giants. We've got problems with the ground sharing agreement. At 6:10, it was Doctor Who. It was part 4 of The Image of Fendral, which is written by Chris Boucher, who is one of my big things that I think they should have kicked John Nathan Turner into touch and made Chris Boucher the showrunner for Doctor Who, certainly in the Colin Baker era. I think we'd probably have ended up with if you were going for a darker Doctor Who, I think he would have written it a lot better with all his success at Adam Blake 7, but wasn't to be.
I will take your word for it, mate.
Yeah, well I'll just get ranting about it, so leave me alone on that one. So in terms of on ITV, let's have a quick look and see if there was anything of interest there. There was rock climbing on ITV, and I know they put some, obscure sports on ITV Father, which beat AEW in the ratings, but ITV One, rock climbing.
That is definitely, definitely unique.
Yeah, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, there was a pro celebrity snooker tournament from the Northern Centre in Leeds.
Oh.
Just down the road from Kirkstall Brewery. They randomly had Harold Wilson on doing a history of other prime ministers. So Robert Peel.
All right, a bit strange, but...
Yeah, there you go.
I suppose that's what happens when you don't have that many channels.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking this because, people say, well, World of Sport got high ratings because there wasn't much on TV. But they could easily have put a lot of other stuff on TV. They didn't need to, just whack any old stuff on. So presumably that's seen as being... I think Harold Wilson did have a chat show at some point in the 70s, though. So Lord only knows, maybe they thought he had a TV career ahead of him.
Seems like the sort of thing that had happened.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've just had a terrifying... drawn a terrifying comparison with the current politicians and having shows on GBBs.
Oh, God. Not good.
No.
Not good. So before we head into this match, we have quite a lot to talk about in terms of what had happened in the world of wrestling between the last match that we watched and this match here. So in January on TV, there was a main event heavyweight match between Bojack Rawlins and Big Daddy.
Oh, nice. Hang on, Bojack.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before. He's not.
I don't remember things. We know that. I'm easily amused.
Yeah. Tony Earnshaw, who's written this in We Shall Not Be Moved, said Daddy decided to behave himself this week because he was still in the heel at this point. So, fair enough. But Daddy ends up winning when he gave a double elbow drop to Rawlins.
All right. How do you do a double elbow drop? It's like fall forward with both elbows.
Yeah, it's like that Bob Sapp finishing move that we saw.
I just remember the song.
Yeah, Sapp Time. Well, yeah. Presumably Daddy came out to Sapp Time and did the double elbow thing. Around the halls, the Royal Albert Hall on the 19th of January, that was a main event between Big Daddy and Kendo Nagasaki.
Oh, wow. And I'm guessing Kendo won.
But it was a lumberjack match, and Kendo won in the fourth round when Daddy was disqualified after Giant Haystacks got in the ring and attacked Nagasaki.
Oh, okay. So Daddy and Haystacks still together at this point?
Yeah. So on the outside, there were the likes of John Elijah, Lee Bronson and Mike Marino, but they didn't have any chance of stopping Haystacks getting into the ring.
No, they wouldn't. He's a bit of a big man.
And Daddy ripped off Kendo's mask as well, the ensuing brawl afterwards.
Oh, dastardly.
Yeah. On the same card, Giant Haystacks defeated Shane Regan, who was unable to continue after the third round after being splashed by Haystacks.
Yeah, I think that'd go for most people.
Yeah.
You're just lucky if you get through that without voiding any parts of your body.
Exactly. On the 28th in Liverpool, there was a match between Mike Marino and Wild Angus. And just as Marino was pinning Angus for the first fall, Daddy entered the ring and attacked him. Daddy getting involved in there. And then Daddy took on Malkin Kong Kirk in a match that ended in the fourth round with them both getting counted out.
That's just fun to say, isn't it? Malkin Kong Kirk.
It is. It is a bit sad, though, because he goes on to die in the ring against Big Daddy, so...
Oh, shit, I knew that name for a reason. I keep forgetting it, and I'm a terrible bloody wrestling fan.
In February on TV, Big Daddy faces Johnny Creslow.
Hey!
Before, wins in two rounds with a big splash.
About right.
Yeah, never mind. And around the halls on the 5th of February in Huddersfield, there was a scheduled match with Kendo and Big Daddy, but Kendo failed to appear.
Oh.
It was replaced with a tag match with Daddy and Haystacks team up against Gil Singh and Gwyn Davis.
Well, that'd have been all right, a bit of Gwyn Davis.
Match ended in the 7th minute with Haystacks refusing to wrestle and he went home.
Haystacks with the "I can't be fucking arsed"
on his way to the pay window.
Yeah. Laying the foundation for Tank Abbott for decades to come.
At Bellevue on the 12th, the main event was again Big Daddy beat Malkin Kong Kirk. Mal Kirk was disqualified in the third round for refusing to get back into the ring after the first fall. Again, yeah,
no
blame.
No, not at all.
No. On the 14th at Halifax, and this was a match that Max Crabtree books for the Best Royton promotion, Big Daddy teaming with Kung Fu against the Liverpool Skinheads. And,
oh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. In the same show, though, Kendo Nagasaki and Giant Haystacks had a ladder match.
That sounds like a spectacle.
Well, I can't imagine Haystacks getting up the ladder.
Laid the foundation for Big Show's reinforced ladder.
Yeah, it did, yeah. On the 24th, and this is from the Dome in Brighton, there was Big Daddy wrestling Bully Boy Muir. He was, again, over 20 stone. It's, again, a match that Tony Earnshaw saw and said it was impressive to see two men over 20 stone slamming each other.
Well, yeah. All I can think of in my head is the big lads wrestling champ.
Yeah. Daddy won by disqualification in the fifth round.
All right, another DQ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the following Saturday at Bellevue, Colin Johnson teamed up with Giant Haystacks to take on Roy and Tony St. Clair.
And, fair enough.
St. Clair Brothers won in two falls in 14 minutes.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. With, well, Haystacks was disqualified for the second fall, so yeah. Sorry, there is a lot to get through here. Yeah, on TV in March, Big Daddy was in action, but his original opponent, Malkin Conkirk, who not only left the match early, has failed to show up for his next match with him. So he faced Brian Buster Hunt.
Oh, that name can go very wrong.
Kent Walton commented that Daddy had lost a stone in weight thanks to a diet of berries and nuts and now was a slim 19 stone 10.
He'd gone for a shit.
Daddy didn't even break a sweat as Hunt was counted out after 25 seconds.
I was going to say even I could not sweat for that long, but I can't guarantee that.
Oh, it's a shame that match doesn't exist because you don't get matches like this in World of Sport.
No. Bloody hell.
Back around the halls in March, and we're back in Liverpool on the 4th. Big Daddy has a match with Wild Angus, but it never got a chance to start, as they were both already fighting before the bell rang, and the referee disqualified them both. So we've gone through a 25-second match to a zero-second match.
Oh, dear, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, on the 12th at Bellevue, Big Daddy beat up Buster Martin, who was counted out in the second round, the latest victim of his double elbow drop. So we're going to keep an eye out for this double elbow drop.
Yeah, we are, by the sounds of it. He's definitely trying something, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely trying to get it over. On the 26th at Bellevue, the main event was advertised as being in a cage and would have been the first ever cage match in Britain. Kendo Nagasaki versus Giant Haystacks. Unfortunately, due to a number of injuries mounting up, Nagasaki didn't wrestle and was replaced by another masked wrestler called Giant Bueller, who only lasted a couple of minutes in an ordinary match before being knocked out by Haystacks.
All right, never heard of Giant Bueller.
No, well, he was very close to having the first ever cage match in Britain. Well, I think there may have been cage matches back in the All-In era. I've just actually got a book on the All-In era, so I'll have to get reading that.
Yeah, let us know.
Because it was a copy that was owned by a library previously. I got it off, you know, Amazon, but it was a second-hand book or whatever. Obviously, you can't get it. It's not in print anymore. But it was the first edition. And then there's like some paper glued into the book that's obviously been sent out after the library's boss bought the book. And it's a retraction from the author who said that he invented the Mount Evan rules of wrestling. And yeah. I think I sued him.
You sent us that.
Yeah, I sent it in the group chat, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you think, you know, Dave Meltzer won't come out with a retraction even when he says something about a wrestler and they say that didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. At the Royal Albert Hall on the 30th of March, the rivalry between Kendo, Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks finally came to an end.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so there was a tag match with Nagasaki partnering with Rex Strong, who we've seen him briefly tagging with before in those fragments that remain, against Daddy and Haystacks. And Nagasaki and Strong win as their opponents disqualified in the 14th minute.
Nagasaki won. I'm shocked.
Yeah. George Gillette grabs the microphone after the match and gives a scathing review of Rex Strong's contributions in the match.
Because of course he does.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. On TV in April, Big Daddy again, in a substitution to the advertised match, ends up taking on Al Martin, who's replacing John Cox. And Big Daddy again sent him packing with his double elbow drop.
John Cox was the York wrestler, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
The mighty John Cox.
Mm.
See, that one's stuck in my head.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, well, another victim of the double elbow. Around the halls at Bellevue on the 9th, Big Daddy and Kung Fu take on three opponents, so a handicap match. So I don't know how regular that was, but it made no difference. Daddy and Kung Fu defeated John Yardsley, Tally Ho K, and the Masked UFO.
The Masked UFO.
Yeah, so the Masked UFO with a fox hunter and just an ordinary, you know.
Because British wrestling, why not?
Yeah, they're an eclectic team of jobbers that have been put together. Beat them in the 12th minute. Now, to be fair, I mean, Tally Ho K, you know, it was a solid mid-carder. So there you go. In Eastbourne on the 15th of April, there was a match involving Big Bruno Erlington, who we're going to see next week when we're reviewing the cup final match. And about 5 minutes into the match, he'd been thrown out of the weight ring, and a woman dashed out from the crowd and stabbed him in the backside with a knitting needle. he ended up going to the local hospital for an anti-tetanus treatment.
That is hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, he's poor ass.
But this is a sign of how good the NHS was at that time, that he still managed to get back before the end of the show and they resumed the tag match.
Excellent.
So, there you go.
That is incredible.
Yeah. It's saying that this wasn't the first time that Big Bruno had made the papers, because in 1974, he'd been fined £25 for plucking a palm tree from the gardens of the Royal Pavilion in Brighton.
Oh, Jesus.
It was a 5 foot tall tree, and his excuse was he thought he'd make a nice present for his wife.
Was he pissed?
We've got to remember this next week. We can't forget this comedy gold.
But I'm gonna. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrestling. Superb. We'll have to see if Nash has ever stolen a 5 foot tall tree.
He's streaming tonight, I'll ask him.
Yeah. On the 24th of April in Cleethorpes, Great Bula again lost to Big Daddy in four rounds this time.
Oh dear, Bula.
Yeah. I think he's just a daddy jobber.
That just sounds wrong. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just does.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. No TV in May for Daddy and Haystacks, which means they missed the cup final day in 77, which is a shame, but never mind. We'll see a lot more of them in the future. But around the halls on the 3rd of May in Croydon, Big Daddy is in the main event. And he knocks out his Malkin Conkirk in the first round. So he's finally got in the ring with him and he's lasted one round.
That's why he didn't want to do it.
Oh, don't blame him. On the 19th, back in Brighton, Big Daddy faces John Elijah.
Hey.
Yeah, Daddy won in the fifth round, but Elijah gave as good as he got, hoisting Daddy above his head.
Bloody hell. Fair play to the lad.
Yeah, so there you go. You'll like this, Dan. 25th of May, Royal Albert Hall. The back using the sin bin in wrestling that we've discussed before. The being in. And if you get two visits to the sin bin in a match now, there's now an additional £10 fine.
And to be fair, that's steep.
Yeah, I mean, it was 70 pence for front row tickets.
Bloody hell. It's almost criminal that they'd fine him that much.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you can, well, you know, if you were charging, you know, 13, 14 times the amount that a front row ticket cost at WrestleMania, people wouldn't be that happy about it, would they?
No, they wouldn't. No. The uproar.
Yeah. On the 31st of June at Croydon, Big Daddy faced Rex Strong in the class of the super heavyweights. It's nearly 50 stone in the ring. Big Daddy won with a big splash. So no double elbow.
Oh, yeah. I just noticed that. He's maybe not doing that anymore.
Well, you say that, but on TV in June, Big Daddy knocks out Tony Walsh in the second round with his double elbow.
Fuck's sake.
So Croydon wouldn't deserve it.
Making me look a fucking mug.
As soon as you say that, he hits another one straight away. Damn you, 1977, Daddy.
Very dare.
Yeah, back in the halls in June. We're heading over to Blackpool.
Oh, the not home of British wrestling.
I think this is the first time we've mentioned Blackpool in this podcast.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. How far in now? It's 7-8 episodes?
Yeah, I thought I meant the entire run of UTT.
Well, yeah, 2 years then.
So, Giant Haystacks defeated Samson Duval, who walked away from the ring in the second round.
Something of a pattern developing here.
Yeah, there was. Oh, Daddy won by a walkout as well. Colin Johnson, so that was a exciting entertainment in Blackpool.
Yeah, some towns aren't worth Daddy's double elbow drop. Blackpool isn't worth a finish.
Later on, because he didn't have a long match, he partnered Johnny Saint, NXT UK authority figure, against the Liverpool Skinheads, and they won in two straight falls in 7 minutes.
Fair enough. I still don't like that name, Liverpool Skinheads. It just sounds all wrong.
Well, you like this name. So in July, on the 9th, on TV, on World of Sport, Big Daddy teamed up with Bobby Ryan to take on Pork Chop Mike Dean.
Yes, Pork Chop.
Pork Chop Mike Dean, famous football referee, and Phil Pearson.
It sounds a bit like Phil Parkinson, who's a football manager nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. So Dean and Pearson got the first fall when they forced Ryan to submit after using dubious tactics that weakened him. Oh, Tony Earnshaw.
Dubious tactics.
Yeah, Daddy got an equalising fall with the double elbow and then knocked out Pearson in the 11th minute.
Definitely not retired it.
No, it's back. In terms of more things that were happening in the wider wrestling industry at the time, on the 23rd of July on TV, there was a match between Tony St. Clair and Colin Johnson. And Kent Walton announced that Sinclair was the new British heavyweight champion. Walton said that he heard that Haystacks was very unhappy that St. Clair had been chosen for a title match that Haystacks should have been given. So, no title change on TV and setting up Haystacks for the future.
Yeah, well, Ian, you've just got to go to the live shows. You never know what you'll see.
Yeah, well, you don't. And you also don't know what type of wrestling you'll see on the same, because on the same show, Big Daddy took on Sandy Scott in a Cumberland and Westmoreland style wrestling match.
Okay. I have heard of that before, but I can't remember what it entails.
Which was fought over the best of three throws. So, okay. So Big Daddy threw him twice. He won the match.
Okay, fair enough.
Holland is, you know, traditional style of British wrestling.
Yeah.
That's
why I've heard of it, because there's an account on Twitter that charts a load of, like, you know, we're talking not just old wrestling, ancient wrestling, you know, 120 or 120 years ago, more. And that's where I've heard the term Cumberland and Westmoreland, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not just Mount Evans rules anymore.
Whole new dynamic.
Back on the halls, and we're in York on the 7th.
Hey.
Yeah. Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. Daddy's very much pitched as the fan favourite, and he ends up having a match with Haystacks, which Daddy wins Haystacks being disqualified in the third round.
Does it say where it was? Must have been the Barbican.
It just says York.
It had to have been the Barbican. It's the only place big enough.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. In the ninth at Bellevue, Giant Haystacks took on two opponents.
Hmm. Another handicap match.
In 3 minutes, he defeated Phil Pearson, who we'd seen before tagging with Porkchop Mike Dean.
Nigel's dad.
And Mark Rollerball Rocco.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Don't know if Rocco tagged in that one.
You go for it, kid.
It's not Porkchop Mike Dean, is it?
Rollerball Rocco's good, but he's no Porkchop Mike Dean.
Oh, exactly. On the 23rd of July at Bellevue, Daddy beat Bronco Wells in the main event. After a Daddy Splash.
Not an awful name.
And then at the Beach Home Holiday Camp in Cleethorpes on the 24th. Well, actually, there was a women's card there, and it says just down the road at the Pier Pavilion, Big Daddy was in tag action with Tony St. Clair against Colin Johnson and Roy Olcard.
All right. Don't know either of them.
No, Daddy won the match... in the 11th minute, there was some controversy in the match. Earlier in the night, Daddy had attacked Tony Banger Walsh. He's the one who goes on and has that article in the Mirror saying that if wrestling was really beat Big Daddy.
Yeah, what an idiot.
So you know he was concussed.
CTE City.
He'd been disqualified in the match against Jack Turpin and continued to attack him, and Daddy had come to Turpin's rescue and splashed Walls, who was taken to hospital with suspected broken ribs.
Oof. I mean, yeah, believable.
Yeah, but he would have won in a fight if it had been real.
Oh, yeah, of course he would.
Yeah. So on to August, nothing on TV, but at the halls at the 6th at Bellevue, Pat Roach had a match with Giant Haystacks. Pat Roach is the actor who's been in... Was he in, like, Alvida's Aim?
Yeah, I was just about to say he had a match with Pat Roach and it was Alvida's Aim, Pet for Roach.
So.
Bomber.
Yeah, a wrestler who turned into a celebrity rather than the other way around. It quickly descended into a brawl and Haystacks was disqualified in the second round.
Oh, okay. No, so that's just interesting. Like a bit of Pat Roach. He's good.
Well, you're like Big Daddy's partner on the 20th at Bellevue because he tags with the Dynamite Kid.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Their opponents were Slim Gillen, who was a sizable chap from Merseyside, according to Tony Earnshaw, and Steve Logan. Daddy and Dynamite won the winning fall in 13 minutes.
Fair enough. Not bad at all.
No. In Chester on the 26th, Giant Haystacks was looking for a world title match, and he took on Tony St. Clair, but his hopes were dashed when he was disqualified in the third round.
Oh dear, that's not gone to plan.
No. So September on TV, there's four participants in a tournament, and this is the first time this happens on TV. Big Daddy, Giant Haystacks, Tony St. Clair, and Rex Strong. Rex Strong was the late replacement. You'll never guess who Rex Strong was the late replacement for.
Kendo Nagasaki.
Bruce Hart.
Fuck off.
No, the actual Bruce Hart.
That one.
Mm. The one that was stood at Survivor Series in the crowd going, it should have been me.
The desperate for attention, Bruce Hart.
Yeah, yeah. We could have seen. In fact, we would have seen in the first round, Big Daddy versus Bruce Hart.
I would have loved that.
Yeah, we see Big Daddy double elbow drop win over Rex Strong.
That's about right.
Yeah. Giant Haystacks wins against Tony St. Clair. He's left St. Clair with suspected cracked ribs.
Just cracked this time, not broken.
Yes, yeah, so he's done better than Banger Walsh. So the final was going to be Big Daddy versus Giant Haystacks.
But?
But
Bruce Hart pulled his creative control.
Well, it says here it ended in farcical scenes after 15 seconds. When Haystacks went to the pay window and was counted out.
Fucking hell.
Daddy was left the winner of the tournament. The fans in attendance and fans at home left disappointed. But this marks the start, the face turn for Daddy and the heel turn for Haystacks.
Because Haystacks has shithoused the people out of the match.
I wish any of these matches survived, you know, available to still watch rather than ITV's dungeon. And I really wish that Bruce Hart had been there.
That'd have been so funny to see him get absolutely mullered by Daddy.
Yeah, the one clip of the double elbow drop, the mythical double elbow drop that I want to see is on Bruce Hart.
Quite literally, his claim to fame, other than being one of Brett's brothers, or one of Brett and Owen's brothers, I should say.
It was an ambulance match in that he ended up in an ambulance. He'd end up in an ambulance afterwards, not that it was. So around the halls in September on the 17th at Bellevue, Giant Haystacks took on Ali the Wicked.
Okay.
Yeah, and was disqualified in the second round.
Smart.
Yeah.
He's not getting it, is he, Haystacks?
No, not if he wants to chase for that championship. So again, in the Wild World of Wrestling, on the 23rd, at Hoyland Wrestlow Green Show, Daddy was advertised in the main event against Gil Singh, but on the night he didn't appear and was replaced by Ray Thunder. The promoter's excuse for Daddy not showing the show is that Daddy will only wrestle for promoters who allow him to choose his opponent.
Right.
Yeah, and many people were thinking that was a dig at Max Crabtree, who'd been booking for Daddy for Best Royton at the time. So I don't know if they were just trying to shift the blame over to him, but yeah, they sold Daddy down the river for that one.
Just a wee bit, yeah, a bit of drama into the mix.
So on TV in October, the most prestigious trophy in all of wrestling, you know, forget King of the Ring, forget the G1, forget all of that. It's the Skegness Holiday Challenge Trophy. This was on TV, Dan.
The Skeggy?
Probably about 10 million people watch it. Well, maybe 8 million people watching the Skegness Holiday Challenge Trophy.
But the Skeggy for short.
Yeah, and in the final, Big Daddy beats Colin Johnson, and Big Daddy is the holder of the splendid trophy that's making its way back to Halifax.
The King of Skegness.
Yeah, Skegness Holiday Trophy Challenge. I mean, I want this, and I want the Mid-South Athlete of the Year cufflinks back in wrestling.
Oh, they should do a modern version of that. You know, I don't know if NGW still do the camps, but you've got something like the Butlins Minehead, you know, like invitation or something like that.
Yeah. Yet again, this was probably the most viewed program on TV that week.
Oh, Butlin's Minehead Invitational. It's called BMI. You give it to the fattest wrestler possible.
That'd work. also on the same show, Count Bartelli took on Giant Haystacks. Bartelli managed to get the opening fall, but it wasn't long before Haystacks got the better of him. He splashed him, and the St. John's Ambulance medics were called into the ring to scrape him off the canvas. Adrian Shakira style in WCW with Scott Steiner.
Difference is they actually had a spatula.
Yeah. Around the halls in October, we're back to Bellevue on the 1st. Big Daddy is in a singles match against Tony Banger Walsh, who beats with a double elbow drop.
Thankfully sparing his ribs.
Yeah, he was thinking about Bruce Hart, though.
Yeah. Of course, he was.
Yeah. You'll never guess where we are next, Dan.
Skegness.
We're at the Blackpool Tower.
Whee.
In the circus. And Big Daddy took on the masked Dr. Death. Okay. I don't think it's the same Dr. Death we've seen Big Daddy wrestling in Wrestlo.
Yeah, part of Dow did it.
Well, we know it's not, because Dr. Death was unmasked and turned out to be John Cox.
The mighty John Cox. Well, he had to be in a mask because he was in Lancashire.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, he did. One of them must have known he was there.
Yeah, didn't want to be seen.
Yeah. In Bradford on the 3rd, Big Daddy again was facing Dr. Death, and this time there was two Dr. Deaths in the ring.
Both
were claiming to be the real Dr. Death. The only conclusion was that Daddy would take on the first Dr. Death, and he knocked him out with a double elbow. And then the second Dr. Death entered the ring, accompanied by Angel Face, Bob Biddy, and manager Charlie the Gent, before the three of them ran away before the bell rang, and they had to face Big Daddy.
Excellent. Good work.
Yeah, so it's like the Black Scorpion, this, isn't it? With the
yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. Back in Bradford on the 17th, and it's Big Daddy versus Giant Haystacks.
Hey.
And Haystacks won when Daddy was counted out.
Ooh. Was he rendered unable to get back in the ring? Because Daddy would have been shithousing it at this point.
He should have gone for his bloody double elbow drop, shouldn't he? That was...
If only he'd thought of it. He forgot he did it, that was a problem.
Yeah, he was distracted. He thought he saw Bruce Hart in the crowd. Went out to try and get him. Yeah. Although, to be fair, Brian Crabtree's probably worried about the Bradford locals getting on his back if he doesn't officiate properly.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Because I nearly beat him up last time, so...
So funny.
Yeah. On the 26th of October at Bellevue, Giant Haystacks takes on Tony St. Clair in a non-title match, and he wins, so he's pressing his claim for a future world title match.
Ah, getting there. Good step forward.
Yeah. And then at Minehead, so I don't think that's made... It's close. We're getting there. We're getting close to your dream now. Big Daddy was at a Dale Martin show in a match against John Elijah.
Hey.
Which has been described as a dull wrestling match, which Daddy won in two falls.
That's a shame. At least they got better in the one we're covering.
Yeah, well, ooh, spoilers. And finally, after all this that we've had in the build-up, on TV in November, there was a main event from Chester. It was Big Daddy taking on Giant Haystacks. Daddy got the first fall before the match was abandoned in the second round. The referee, Dave Reese, was trapped between both wrestlers as they charged towards each other and was rendered unconscious.
God, he got the man sandwich.
The man sandwich that they've been practicing, in all fairness.
Yeah, well, this sounds like it might have been a power walking man sandwich.
Yeah, so gutting that we've missed so much and so much pivotal stuff. We've missed the daddy face turn. We've missed a lot of craziness, really.
And I'd love as well, because I went to university in Chester, I'd love to know where in Chester they held those matches. Because certainly when I was there, and since I've been back since, I can't think of a venue big enough.
No, well, I mean, they may well have knocked some of the venues down or whatever since.
Well, yeah, where is that?
Since they were there, so who knows? But yeah, that was an interesting one and an interesting run up to today's match.
We
want Bruce Hart to get double elbowed. That's what we want.
Yeah, to put more of a finer point on it. Yeah.
So now it's time for the Dan Does the Job section of the show, where we scour the newspapers from around the time and look through the job section and find out if there's any jobs that Dan would be suitable for. Now, obviously, Dan's qualified to do any job that you would give him, but the 1970s were an absolute minefield for protected characteristics. So there's some jobs that Dan might be too old for, too young for. He might be the wrong gender, that kind of thing. So if he picks one of those, then he can't have it. We're offering him five jobs. If he passes on a job, he can't go back. So, yeah, there's a little bit of peril there, and there's been quite a few times you've not come away with a job in this section.
Yeah, I can't remember what my average is at the minute, but I've cocked it up a few times.
Well, no wonder unemployment was so high in the 70s.
Yeah, everybody was so bloody picky.
Yeah, So we're heading over to the Derby Evening Telegraph from the 18th of November 1977. And one of the reasons we're heading over there is that there's an article in there that Mick McManus is out meeting the fans. He's going to meet Peter Brayford at the Derby Assembly Rooms. And Peter's 19, gives his address because it's the 70s, so why wouldn't you? Thrilled to meet his favourite wrestler. You know, that this is the equivalent of kind of the Make-A-Wish stuff that, you know, you get the John Cena's doing, etc. But it mentions, just in one line, and as a bonus, Big Daddy was there too. Messed with this lad. Big Daddy's not even in the picture. And I think that just goes to show that within the next 4 years, we're going to go from, and Big Daddy was there too, to the biggest name in wrestling.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Big Daddy was there too.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. So, are you ready for going through the job section?
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. So, the RAF are looking for a 3-year engineering apprenticeship.
Okay.
You need 4 GCEO levels.
Got them.
Yeah. Including maths and physics or an acceptable science subject.
Yeah, got that.
You can gain a new ordinary technician qualification.
All right.
You'll become one of the RAF's most skilled technicians. They've never stopped this kind of advertising, have they? You know, if you can fix a skateboard, you can fix the maths.
Oh, God. Doesn't say a lot. Either says a lot about the training or they're just not very high bar.
And this is the RAF. And what vehicle do you think they've put on the advert?
Land Rover.
A Bedford van.
Fucking hell. A Bedford.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what you join the RAF to. This is the van that they drive around the base in. And it says careers information on side of it.
Jesus Christ. Not exactly the height of technology, is it?
No. No. So what are you thinking about a career with the RAF?
I'll stick a pin in that one for now.
Well,
I think there might be better opportunities elsewhere. I'm not fancying being an apprentice.
Right. Well, we'll go on and then we'll see. So, the next one is for Littlewoods. So,
ooh,
the League Cup, they're looking for a maintenance technician,
mm-hmm.
and that's to work in their local store in Derby, working full time as an electrician or a fitter, with experience of insulation, heating, ventilation. Duties will include general maintenance and minor works within the store.
Right,
it's a permanent position with attractive salaries. First-rate benefits, including subsidised staff restaurant, service bonus, staff discount, and 4 weeks holiday.
That's actually not bad for the time. Is it just in the one store in Derby?
Yes. It's in the Corn Market store.
Do you know what? I'll take that.
I love it. Stuff.
It sounds relatively easy.
Excellent. Right, well, we'll just go through the other ones and then we'll come back, see if you've missed out on any good ones that you might be regretting. So, East Midlands Electricity. Electricity needs you.
We need electricity.
Would you like to be part of an industry supplying electricity for now and the future?
Well, we're going to have electricity in the future.
Yep. Are you capable of leading and motivating a small team of staff, providing clerical support to a group of engineers, foremen, and sales representatives?
Clerical support, yes. In leading, no.
We're looking for a person to fill the job of administrative assistant, a commercial close services in the commercial department. Functions of this department include the operation of an electrical contracting and appliance repair business, the promotion of electricity sales to industry, commerce, agriculture, and domestic customers, and negotiating with customers for new additional electric suppliers. Duties will include the provision of statistical and management information preparations of all reports and servicing department meetings. The salary ranges from £3,430 to £4,795 plus bonus.
I get the feeling, with it being an assistant position, and a lot of that just sounded like taking minutes for meetings. I would have declined that one on the basis that they were looking for a woman.
Well, we'll come back and find out, but I think that's one of the highest salary offerings that we've had so far.
That's the only one that made me doubt. That's the bit that made me doubt myself.
Well, you've already taken your job a little, Woods, so we'll see. So, Metal Closures Venus Package Limited are looking for a personnel and training officer. The company is a leading manufacturer of high-quality flexible packaging. The job, you'll be reporting to the chief executive, and the successful applicant will be required to provide a personnel and training service to the company. Training responsibilities are an important part of the job, and the holder will be expected to make a positive contribution to the aspects of work. They're looking for someone of sound practical experience. A high degree of initiative will be called for, with a good knowledge of employment legislation. Salary and conditions of employment are realistic and consummate with the importance attached to this position. This is a challenging post, providing high job satisfaction.
Sounds like working in HR. No, thanks.
Yeah, well, it is an HR job. And the final job is Boots.
Hey.
And they're looking for an organisational and methods analyst concerned with design and documentation of procedures and methods, together with the examination of related organisational structure. A wide range of assignments concerned with improving the efficiency of office and administration systems, and it ensures that the work is both challenging and rewarding.
Mm.
Yeah. The project nature of the department requires that successful candidates will be capable of working, and I love this because the next line is about half the size of the rest of the lines in the advert because they've had to try and fit it into the oval of the Boots logo.
Yeah.
The minimum of supervision to the successful conclusion of assignments, some knowledge of computers, granted, an extractive salary will be paid. And there's a pension scheme and profit sharing scheme.
That would have been probably my second choice.
Right. So we'll start right back at the start. RAF, You are to be aged between 16 and 18 and a half.
Yeah, I'm out of that.
Yeah, so you couldn't have had that. Littlewoods, there is an age restriction.
Mm-hmm.
It's available to both men and women. So you find that, and it specifically says that. And it's ages 30 to 49.
I'm in. Boom.
And got a job at Littlewoods. Yeah. So the East Midlands electricity, you thought that might be potential. Well, you liked the salary, maybe not the job.
Yeah.
So there were no requirements for that. You could have had that one.
Bollocks.
Yeah, it wasn't a women only, which you thought it might be. The personnel officer was a age limit 25 to 45.
I'd have got in there.
Yeah, so you could have had that. And Boots, again, it's the 1970s, so yeah, let's have some weird age requirements. You have to be aged between 23 and 33.
What? It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Just make it up. Literally just make it up.
It's complete horseshit.
I think what happens is there's someone that they want to give the job to.
But they have to advertise for it. Oh, God. What a weird time to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But there you go.
At least I got a job this week.
You did. You did. You're working for Littlewoods, so you may get some tickets to the Littlewoods Cup final.
That'll do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, and you be able to flick through the index catalogue.
It's all right. I forgot Littlewoods were like, were that kind of star. I took that thinking they were a fucking bookies.
Brilliant.
I don't know where that got into my head, but it was there.
Well, there's some football, so they're probably likely to be doing with betting, but no. Yeah, there was a department store, but they also had the Wish version of Argos, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. What was that?
No, that was the horn outside.
Someone's got the horn outside, Robs.
She's just come back from the gym. I don't know why she did that. She's waving a cloth at me. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
That's why she's cleaning a car. And
she wasn't waving
a horn.
So she wasn't waving a cloth at you. She was cleaning the inside.
Yeah, if you want 10% off to cloths, you can go to whatever Fitch is promoting. Put in the code housewife10.
Yeah, I like that weather bullshit Fitch is up to.
I can't remember the company. I know it can't be Dodo Juicy. They can't be selling cloths.
Rag Company Cloth.
Find out what the promo code is. Put that in and get 10% off.
The only reason I remember it is because Marty did that piss take thing where he's going, Rag Company Cloth. It's fuck all Fitch's done.
Brilliant. Superb. So, it's time for the match after an hour.
Yeah. I did look into John Elijah, and I can't remember where this site's from, but the quote's from somebody with the last name Sawyer. It's from some blog or other. And there was somebody who I think he was the son of, or the grandson of a former wrestler. And it just reads, John the Bear Elijah was a North London boy who my grandfather had the privilege to know. Elijah earned his moniker for two reasons. He was a great hairy brute who weighed in at over 15 stone and was covered in a mop of straggly hair and, for most of his career, a shaggy beard. Elijah was devoted to the wrestling business. He worked at Tottenham College in North London, spent most of his spare time training and practicing moves, particularly the bear hug submission manoeuvre that won him so many matches. Although very often Elijah falling on opponent with any momentum would soon take the fight out of them. So that was the takeaway from this guy. He was airy and he fell on people.
So the other quote that I love about John Elijah, and this is why I'm sure I've reviewed his matches on podcasts before, because I'm sure I've said it, or maybe I've just said about John Elijah, is that by day he was a carpet fitter as well as a wrestler. And because he's, you know, quite sort of built, you know, he's been clanging and banging, his arms sort of are out away from his body. And people used to say that it looked like he had a roll of carpet under each arm.
Yeah, I think I've heard you say that before. I know you mention it.
Yeah. And I did like that.
Yeah. It's accurate as well. He's a big old unit. But getting into the match, first thing, I see Big Daddy. And he's got a big sparkly hat on.
He has, yeah. What unit did next? She's been gluing a sequence onto Big Daddy that, hasn't she?
It's not quite the top hat we'd see in later years, but it's getting there.
It's a floppy hat.
it's almost a beret.
It looks like it probably was Eunice's hat. And he's got a red singlet with Big D on it.
It's a hell of a brag.
Yeah, there you go. The announcer for this match was Fred Downs. I couldn't find anything on him.
I forgot to look.
No, Max Ward was the referee, so we've seen him before.
Yeah, decent is Max Ward.
And he's got his name on his back.
Yeah. There was a big pop for Daddy, though, which is first time we've really, on this show, that we've seen a pop that big for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's fully faced now, so it's a bit of a move from the previous scenario that we've seen him in. Again, gutting that we've missed it, that from everything that we've just run through. But yeah, we're going to be seeing Face Daddy for the rest of the run of the show.
Great stuff, yeah. And as the bell rings on this one, he's still taking his robe off.
Isn't that
amusing? But yeah, first round's just a there's a lot of sort of test of strength and. That's it. Daddy grabbing a straitjacket hold, which was interesting. And it's another one of those sort of feeling out rounds, isn't it? But Daddy's blatantly got, at least got most of the power. I was shocked to see Elijah take Daddy down to a knee with a headlock.
A straitjacket hold, Dan. You haven't been to the Kent Walton School of making up names for wrestling holds on the spot. This is a double Japanese strangle hold.
because I can't remember that many words in a row for a move.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a sort of an indicator early on that John Elijah was going to get a bit in this match.
Yes.
Until he tries a cravat on Daddy or whatever Kent Walton would call it. I don't know, a West Indian strangle muffin or something like that. but Daddy just sort of pops him over with a hip toss. And it's just like, bloody hell, that come out of nowhere.
And I'm gutted we didn't have Kevin Kelly on commentary here because Daddy maintains fist control. Because he sort of grabs his fist as he's doing it. And there's several times in this match that Daddy maintains fist control. And then he picks him up by he's got one hand holding his fist and then he puts another hand in his armpit and just lifts Elijah up above his head.
That always looks so painful, that, doesn't it, as well? It really does, but yeah, it looked really good. Daddy obviously showing off his strength, but Elijah's still able to sort of get out of the hold. And Daddy actually grabs a crossface into a sort of sleeper hold as well, so we're actually getting some technique from Daddy and Elijah as well, as he gets out and grabs a hammerlocker, which gets an applause from the crowd.
Yeah, there's a couple of times in this match where Kent Walton is saying, oh, you know, Daddy's actually wrestling today, you don't normally see that. I'd like to
see
a bit more of that.
He's shitting on the biggest star at the minute. Or seemed to be the biggest star. It was quite funny.
The guy who stood next to the biggest star in the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, so round one passes without incident, really, doesn't it? You know, Daddy ducks out of a headlock, he goes into a waistlock, he lifts Elijah up and the bell rings and he just sort of puts him down. And it's mutual respect and applause for the sportsmanship.
Yeah. It's all very sort of well-mannered at this point, isn't it? And during the mid-round interval, Kent Walton takes the chance to tell us that John Elijah is a paleontologist. He studies evolution.
Fair enough. I'm not sure that's entirely what paleontology does, but it'll be part of it.
Not paleontology, it wasn't paleontology, it was paleontology.
How's that different?
It's spelled different. Spelled and pronounced differently.
I think it might just be pronounced differently.
Who knows? But yeah, Kent Walton thought that was something different, and I trust Ken.
Because the study of evolution is just called evolutionary biology.
Well, Lord only knows. But Daddy's had enough of this Kent Walton nonsense and he comes running out with a shoulder barge to start the third round and we get a seven count.
And then when John Elijah gets up, he tries to pick Daddy's leg and Daddy just suffocates him with a tit.
It wasn't as bad as the giant haystacks one, though, was it?
No, it wasn't, but still it was like, oh, God, he's just got a gob full of flesh. But Elijah eventually does sort of succeed in toppling Daddy by grabbing the leg, but it's all very quick. But yeah, Elijah continues and he grabs an abdominal stretch, but again eats another hip throw.
Yeah, which you didn't expect to see someone of that size grabbing an abdominal stretch.
And with good reason, because he eats the hip throw. One thing I did notice was just how hard John Elijah hit the corners on the whips as well. Because it's one of those where you can swear you can see the ring move, like visibly shift from where it was on that first corner whip, and then Daddy's out with a big running belly bounce.
And as Kent Walton says, after Elijah took that posting, at this time of year, I often think of saying, posting just in time for Christmas, but I wouldn't have the nerve to say that.
Despite the fact he just did.
It just did. And then he claims that the ring's moved about 4 inches on one of those postings.
And do you know what? I don't think it'd be far wrong. Maybe not 4 inches, but it looked like it was shifting.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit camera trickery, but, you know.
Well, maybe. But what wasn't was John Elijah, he's bold in his strategy. He manages to get the leg again of Daddy. And he goes for like a sort of stretch muffler kind of move.
Yes.
And then he goes from that and he's just sort of bending Daddy's knee over his own head.
Yeah, I did like that. Daddy hip tosses out of it and again maintains fist control.
Yeah. Oh, cause that was it. They split up off that because Daddy kicks Elijah out of the ring, doesn't he? And then, you know, there's sort of a handshake and applause. And then Daddy does a full-on arm drag into a wrist lock.
Yes.
Amazing. But I did like as well, Elijah goes for the cravat while Daddy's, I think, down on his knees or something like that. Daddy just stands up out of it. And Elijah just stood there looking at his hands thinking, wait, what?
But also they do that sort of move that, you know, it's on the big gold belt, you know, when they're both sort of bent all over in like a double headlock thing.
Yes. Yeah, they do. I think I'd seen that somewhere before. And then Daddy's trying for, it looked almost like a chicken wing submission.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot out of Daddy in this match.
Yeah, we are. And the fact that Daddy's having to do this stuff makes his opponent look better.
Yeah. He has to take John Elijah seriously because he's all, you know, he's already shown he can take Daddy down. Not maybe not at will, but he can do it. So he's got to watch out for it. And Daddy asserts his power just as the round ends by hitting one, you know, big throw across the ring. But, you know, we're into how many people haven't survived two rounds with Daddy?
Well, exactly. And there's no sign of the double elbow drop.
No, will there ever will be.
Save that for Bruce Hart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, round three starts. Daddy gets a second belly bounce, which, you know, you've always got to have a couple. And running shoulder lock, and this is all sort of very familiar. And then John Elijah picks Big Daddy up and walks around with him.
And there is a massive pop from the crowd. And I think, you know, we probably should have mentioned a bit earlier that this isn't the crowd that I was thinking of when I said that the Aylesbury crowd was really great. I think I was thinking of Digby in a later episode. But there are times when this crowd is quite hot, and this was one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is with this as well, there's always a bit of a murmur with this crowd. They are being attentive, even when they're being quiet, which isn't a bad thing. But yeah, John Elijah picking Big Daddy up and walking around with him, and then Daddy having to hit a headlock takeover and then get up and applaud Elijah.
Yeah.
That is for someone of Daddy's size and, you know, what he'll go on to be, that is an amazing amount to give to John Elijah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it gets even better for Elijah because he repeats the trick that Daddy's done to him and throws him across the ring twice. This is such a hot sort of comeback.
Yeah.
In this match, it's unreal. And he whips Daddy into the corner, and Daddy hits the corner with such force that the ref stumbles.
Yes, yeah, Max Ward's. He's like on the game when they bounce around and not in the Aubrey Edwards type way. But I thought you said it was going to get better because John Elijah got on the Elijah Express and...
not quite. But yeah, he goes for another whip, does Elijah, and Daddy rebounds out and he gets a third belly bounce, so he's got his hat-trick. Then it's a big scoop slam and the splash for the three just as John Elijah was getting going. But the fact that Daddy had to pull out the big guns and take the one opportunity to get the win says so much for Elijah.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, I mean, that is effectively the end of the match, but how do you think Daddy looked in the match?
Brilliant. As an all-round wrestler, he looked fantastic. You know, I think this is probably the most actual wrestling we've seen out of Daddy so far.
Yeah.
He still looked strong. You know, he was overpowering a very big guy, but it showed off his adaptability and his wrestling acumen. You know, a bit of a scare in round three, but that bit of extra vulnerability is actually very good for a babyface, and you need it for someone of Daddy's size as well.
I think the other thing for me is that this was a Dale Martin show, so potentially not a show that Max has the pencil on. And in those shows, we have seen Daddy working more heel and sort of sticking to that, where he was, to be fair, he was a little bit of a tweener in some of the best writing shows that we've reviewed. But yeah, you know, I mean, he's out and out face here. He's had the big face turn and he's put a shift in today. He really has.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. And to move on to the next point, when we asked, did the opponent get to look good? Absolutely. This is the best anybody's looked against Daddy and Haystacks outside of Kendo, I think.
I was just about to say that. I was out of anyone named Kendo Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Because Kendo would have won.
Yeah. But even Kendo didn't pick Big Daddy up and walk around with him.
No.
You know, Kendo got in there with the strikes and all of that, and was very entertaining with it. But yeah, John Elijah made Big Daddy wrestle. He launched him across the ring. You know, he was matching him for, you know, maybe not matching him for power, but he was showing he could hang with him. Got into round 3 or 5. Yeah, John Elijah got to look great.
Yeah. So, did you have a Kent Walton moment of the night?
I did. It was the line early on when he said, "I wish we could see some more wrestling from Big Daddy rather than the attempts he normally makes."
Superb. I'm going to go for the posting in time for Christmas.
That was a good one as well, but I just thought, right off the bat, you've got this guy that people are wanting to be the next big thing. The crowd are behind him, and Ken Walton's just there just saying, "Well, I'm not really a fan."
I mean, this is a recurring theme, isn't it? That Ken Walton wants to watch middleweights.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but at least we can take it in good humour nowadays.
Yeah, bless him. Bless him. So, what did you think of the Aylesbury crowd?
They're good. Yeah, they're good. Like I say, even when they were on the quiet side, they were very attentive. But as soon as they sniffed Elijah being on top and they thought an upset was on the card, they were very animated and appreciative of the sportsmanship as well. So they were dialed in. Yeah, they were decent.
Yeah, they were decent. And by, you know, what we went through at the start of the show, they had a pretty stacked card to get through. Or maybe this was the end of it, but yeah, they seems like they had a good evening.
Definitely.
So now that we've finally had the daddy face turn, are you hyped for Wembley 81 yet?
More than I was, but I'm more hyped to get to the cup final show before that and to see more of face daddy. I'd love to see more of daddy versus John Elijah, because if they can do that again and maybe go into the fourth or fifth round, it'd be even better.
Yeah, the really good stuff from John Elijah. He's a decent wrestler, really is.
Yeah, he's someone I'll gladly watch more of and go on my way to watch more of outside of the podcast.
Yeah. So we can find out that if we have ever watched a match of his before. Yeah. I'm making it up. Yeah. I'm sure I've got a John Elijah podcast.
He's on SJP World Media.
Yeah, he probably, yeah. I hadn't seen that. And where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DanGriffin21. Usually tweet about wrestling that's minimum 6 weeks out of date, or movies that are 25 years out of date. If you want to hear more of me talking about stuff, I'm over on the SJP World Media Network on the Doctor Who pod with Si Powell, where we look at one episode or serial per Doctor per season. Seeing what lands for me with the classic Who stuff as a modern Who fan and the reverse for Si. I'm also on the volley with the magnificent Matt Lewis and Connor from At Connor Knows Footy, where we provide alternate commentary for Premier League games, and we'll no doubt be branching out into the Champions League and Europa League in the coming months, and may well have a couple of side projects to see us through international breaks and, you know, breaks in the game weeks and such like.
That's superb. Very much looking forward to hearing that. You can find me at UTT Roberts. We know more about the mutuals than it is about the followers, so I'm absolutely more than happy to follow up back. Up next, as we say, we go into the FA Cup final day show. We go into the 1978 FA Cup final, as you heard us read through there. With you know, there's a lot of matches missing from 1977, unfortunately, in terms of Daddy and Haystacks, which is a crying shame, because it would have been great to see some of that stuff. But yeah, so it's going to be a little bit of a different format next time, because we're going to do a live watch along, effectively, of the three matches that do, well, the all three matches survive from the time. And this will, you know, we'll watch it as was intended with a couple of beers. Yeah. So we'll see Mick McManus versus Kung Fu.
That'll do nicely.
My Baby Jim Drakes versus Steve Gray.
That'll be a banger.
Yeah, Big Daddy and Tony St. Clair versus Giant Haystacks and Bruiser Murr.
Never had a Bruiser Murr, but the rest of those matches are absolutely stacked with talent.
Well, the thumbnail for the Daddy match is Max Ward looking like he's about to do a Barry Howitz pat on the back with his name on his back.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the biggest self-publicist in wrestling until Slick Johnson came along. But yeah, so we'll try and get a guest in for that. So I think that'll be good to get one of our compatriots in there to review that with us.
Yeah, we'll put the feelers out, see if anybody fancies it.
Yeah, but yeah, that'll be a bit of a different experience. But yeah, we'll try and get into a bit of the hype for the build-up to Arsenal versus Ipswich in the FA Cup final. So in the meantime, thank you for listening.
Look inside, girl. Let the sound take you away.